You are listening to Ghost in the Valley Podcast with Al Cooley. Today on my show, I have Dr. Heather Lee. Heather is a researcher, an author, and a speaker, and after multiple interactions with her grandfather, who passed away many years ago, Heather started her journey into the paranormal field as a teenager. A few of the organizations Heather is associated with are Explorations Paranormal, International Bureau of Paranormal Investigation and Research, Witches Paranormal Society, and the Paranexus Anomalous Research Association. Heather holds a Doctor of Philosophy in Metaphysical Humanistic Science, specializing in paranormal science. Heather is a certified paranormal investigator and certified EVP technician. Heather's goal is to help others to take more of a scientific approach to paranormal investigations and research. Heather's research includes using the scientific method, understanding paranormal history, and implementing various magic techniques. Heather is a content contributor to Touch of Magic, a podcast of magic and the paranormal. Heather teaches online classes through Truckee Meadows Community College. In addition, Heather hosted a monthly talk about the paranormal, Host Town Talks for Henderson Libraries. Heather is the founder of Exploration Paranormal and co-founder of Witches Paranormal Society. Heather and her team, Exploration Paranormal, were featured in Real Haunts, Ghost Town, and Real Haunts 3 by Motion Picture Video. She also appeared in Ghost Adventures Lake of Death. Heather is the host of Exploring the Paranormal on WLTK DB Talk Radio, co-host of Ghost Education 101, on Facebook and YouTube, and Passport to the Paranormal also on WLTK DB Talk Radio. Heather is the author of articles and books and a lector about all things paranormal, including her report on the scientific method in the Real Paranormal Magazine, UK. Heather has appeared on many podcasts, TV shows, news channels, including Telemundo Las Vegas, The Apocalypse Project, and KCOR Radio, plus so much more. I mean, quite an impressive bio, Heather. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to start out with the very first question is, I was looking at your bio, and it really struck me. The first thing off the bat was, after multiple interactions with your grandfather, who passed away many, many years prior, that you started your journey into the paranormal field as a teenager. Now, is that what led you into the paranormal?
It was. And the more I look back on it, I kind of need to start updating it because that story is evolving the more research I do. But I was very close to my grandfather. We had lived with him when I was growing up for some time. And it was just before I started kindergarten, he had passed away. And what had happened is him and I were out in the backyard up outside of Chicago, heavy snow. He was shoveling. I was playing in the snow and he had a heart attack right there. All I remember is him going stiff, landing face first in the snow. And then they got me out of there. And of course that's going to traumatize any kid who's close to their grand, you know, close to anyone. Uh-huh. And when I was a teenager, you know, teenage troubles and all of that stuff and the drama that goes on with life, he started appearing to me. I couldn't figure out why he would. You know, I would see, sometimes I would just see his face. Other times I would see his whole, you know, his whole apparition sitting next to my bed, just kind of watching me sleep. And I couldn't figure out why, because he had never been to that house. We didn't own that house until many years after he had passed. And back in the 80s, the theory behind why a house was haunted was because someone died there. So, of course, that started me on deep diving into, you know, going to the library, leaving with stacks and stacks of books because we didn't have the internet back then. And it progressed. I mean, from there, my family, we didn't take your typical Disney World vacation. We took vacations to places like Gettysburg. We would just go to Florida and drive the East Coast, hitting all the Civil War sites. And that's when I was, I think, 19 when I met Mark Nesbitt. He runs Ghost of Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And just fell in love with him. Asked him, here I am, you know, just a teenager asking him 101 questions. He's probably like, get away from me, kid. But he took the time, answered them all, you know, signed all of his books that I bought, because I bought every single one of his books back then. And it just kept pushing me and pushing me to want to learn more about why, you know, because even back then, all the books said someone had to die in a home for it to be haunted. There weren't these theories that ghosts have free will. They can come and go when they're needed or when they want. So it was really interesting, but that was what actually sparked it. And like I had mentioned earlier, real quick, is thinking back, I had surgery when I was 6. I had a tracheotomy because my voice box swelled my throat shut. I can look back on that and I actually see myself having the surgery done to me. So I'm almost starting to wonder if I was having out of body experiences back then.
So do you have a paranormal team? Is that what the Exploring the Paranormal is?
Exploring the Paranormal is my podcast, but my team is Exploration Paranormal.
Exploration Paranormal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that team, that's kind of interesting how that one came about, because I was actually with another team when we were living out in Vegas and COVID hit, you know, team was falling apart. Everybody was going their separate ways. And I had some clients that I was still taking care of after, you know, the team started falling apart. And as one of those, my husband's like, well, you're not going to these homes alone with these people. So my husband's like, okay, well, I'll go with you. And then my son's like, and my son had been on other investigations with me in the past. And he's like, well, I want to participate. So we kind of sat down one night and that's where the team came from.
Okay. It's cool to have your family involved, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one thing my wife does not want, any part of the paranormal, you know. See, that's on yeah. You, dude. I mean, that's why I have a cross on my wall over here and one in the back behind me. And I do protection prayers before I go into a place. When I leave the place, so how many are on your team? Just what?
Just the three of us.
The three of you. Okay.
Yeah.
And have any of you been hurt during an investigation?
I have. My husband has not. He's still very skeptical. So he's kind of like the grounded one in the group, everybody calls him. And then my son, he's had several firsthand experiences, but as far as getting physically hurt, I've been the only one out of the three of us.
Have you come across anything like a demonic?
It was very evil, but the more because it was the second time we were investigating this home. I didn't go the first time because I wasn't part of the team. This was the team that I was on in Vegas before going off on my own. We were there. We knew it was already the group that went in before us from our team came out and they're like, oh, it's demonic. It's 100% demonic. So they sent a couple of us in. They specifically sent me in because the daughter was dabbling with witchcraft and that's my background. So we got there and it was interesting because the lead investigator that I was with, his eyes turned completely black. He had a time slip. So we knew something wasn't quite right, but it just didn't feel demonic to us. And then when I was actually cleansing the home, it was almost like a karate swipe. And it swept my feet out from underneath me and I landed on my knees. And me being the mom that I was at the time, I stood up and started yelling at it like it was a little 2-year-old child that got in trouble. And the minute I got done yelling, the entire house got brighter. So, but yeah, it was very negative. It was someone who didn't want the living there, but it wasn't demonic.
Mm-hmm. I went into a haunted house last year. You know, he lives like 60 miles from me.
Right.
And that was very, very interesting. I actually had to do the interview outside the house because it was so ramped up with aggressive spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that when you do your investigations, you know, you take the history seriously, you know, and I admire that.
Yeah, my goal is I want to, in addition to, of course, trying to find a way that we can be considered a real science, is my other goal is to actually to almost retell history, tying it into the paranormal and using paranormal experiences as a way of storytelling mm-hmm. a property's history.
Yeah, because there's so much history in these old buildings, you know.
Yep.
Like that house went into last year, you know, it was actually moved uphill in the late 1700s by a team of horses on logs, you know. So I think what they did was they placed that house on Indian burial ground because when he planted his garden, he came across a lot of Indian artifacts and arrowheads, and he's seen like, I don't want to say a skinwalker, but something of that image running down the tree line. So I see that you use scientific methods in your investigations.
Yes.
What is that?
I get not so much criticized for this, but people don't understand it is we can use the scientific method that we learned in high school science for the paranormal. But the main, of course, the challenge is ghosts don't act on command. So instead of following here's the theory, here's the experiment, did the ghost say something and did they say the same thing they said last time? You kind of got to tweak it to where almost like run it in reverse. Like, okay, here's the experiment we did. We did get interaction. It's almost like it doesn't matter what they say or what type of interaction you get, just that this technique actually did work to lure the spirits to talk to us.
Uh-huh.
Is kind of where we need to start. And I also truly do believe that there needs to be more scientific documentation, not just we went to a location, we asked 101 questions, we got 3 answers, the place is haunted. It needs to be, what's the moon phase? What's the weather like? Geothermal readings. We need to start collecting all of that type of data, because we're never going to find out why. I mean, in my heart, I truly know paranormal activity happens. I want to find out why. And that's not going to happen unless we all start collecting the same type of data to scientifically cross everything to see, like, okay, more activity does happen in a full moon.
It sure does, yeah.
Not just, it's a full moon, activity is going to increase. Have it documented.
I never realized that until my father went into a nursing home years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just everybody in that nursing home, how active it was every full moon.
Yep.
That normally doesn't happen any other time of the week, mm-hmm. or the month. And yeah, and it is, it's amazing to see that when you go to any assisted living or nursing homes and you see that firsthand
mm-hmm.
on how the full moon works with these people's minds. I don't know how to explain it really. I see you have a certificate in EVP technician.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is that?
That was part of the doctorate program with the IMHS, the Institute of Metaphysical and Humanistic Studies. Dr. Kelly offered it as a way to show that we took the time to almost deep dive into what an EVP is. And we covered everything from what an EVP is, different scientific methods on what could be creating the EVP, everything from even self-manifestation and self-thoughts, how to analyze it. We learned all different programs to use it, analyzing them forward and backward and revert, all the different things, being able to identify. And it was a very comprehensive, like I said, a deep dive into everything connected to spirit communication.
Is that your favorite piece of equipment is your EVP voice boxes or
I still prefer just a digital voice recorder. We do have a spirit box, but we only use it mostly for events because of course guests come to events, they want instant satisfaction and they want to hear things happening right away, but I don't use them on residential cases. And I prefer old school tools and non-tech tools. Like I still use dowsing rods and pendulums and,
next question,
dowsing
rods or a pendulum.
I have a degree in photojournalism from when I was right out of high school. I went to community college and took a degree in photojournalism. So I do different photography techniques to see, like those little glass orbs. I'll set that up with a video camera to see if, an experiment that way. So I just kind of prefer, some of more of the old school type stuff instead of the new tools. They're fun to work with. I've used a couple of them, but they're just not scientifically proven, but they're just not, they're designed for the field.
I like what you said earlier. You said, you can't just go in and have a ghost spirit come out right to you. Right. Cause I've seen, you can be on many, I've been on many investigations and never come across anything, so mm-hmm. it's like when I did a documentary in the late 90s, mm-hmm. and hence called Ghost in the Valley. When I was on this one case, there was nothing. I had my actors and everybody there. My sound crew was there. Everything was set up. Nothing. I got nothing at all. It wasn't until I was leaving the area that I was actually pushed from behind,
Yeah.
And the activity started up from there. I mean, so I always say it's like fishing, sometimes you go and you get a lot of fish. Sometimes you go and you get nothing,
Yep. And it's, I truly do believe that the spirits are more intellectual than we you know, think they are. Because when we filmed Real Haunts, the documentary that we were in, we like got barely any activity the entire time the film crew was filming.
Uh-huh.
But I could see them and I could hear them with my own ears. So I knew they were there and they were following us. But as far as documentation, there was nothing.
Do you have a connection with witchcraft?
Yes. Well, I was raised Roman Catholic. And then after my grandma died, which was, I want to say about 5 years after my grandfather did, I just... You know, I was still young and I lost all connection with the, you know, the church. And I don't really want to say I was mad, but I was mad that he took, you know, that a higher being of any kind, because at the time I didn't know what it was, would take my grandparents away from me like that.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of, you know, rebelled a little bit in the aspect of going to church and everything. And then I met a friend and his mom was a witch, and she just kind of taught me a way to connect with nature. And even if, you know, I continued, you know, with whatever religion I connected with at the time, she taught me that you don't have to go to church. You can have, you know, like the beach could be your church,
uh-huh.
you know, and you can go. And that kind of really got me connected to the different type of, you know, paganism, Mother Nature and all of that. I mean, I love making little, you know, intention jars or, you know, spell jars. It all depends on what you call it.
Uh-huh.
And I just love doing things like that. And I've actually had several clients who reached out, or like the team I was on, they're like, oh my goodness, thank God we have someone who knows what they're talking about when it comes to this. Because, you know, the entire team was, you know, Catholic.
Right.
And, you know, clients are like, nobody knows how to handle, you know, a case like that. And that just kind of confirmed that I follow that. And I would say in the next last 5 to 6 years, I dove even more deeper into that than I had in the past.
Now, do you feel you can move a spirit on?
No, I really haven't tried that. And I probably could if I wanted to. I feel like I'm there. You know, I truly do believe that the term parapsychology, that's what we do. We're psychologists, but we're not just psychologists to humans. We're, you know, to the spirits. And we're there to talk to them and, you know, help them. And I've never had to move one on because they've never asked me to help them do that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm there to listen. And that's how I investigate. I'll go in with a digital voice recorder or a video camera, and I'll sit down and I'll be like, I'm here for you to get to know me better. Let me know if you have any questions, you know, and then a few minutes later, I'll just start talking about myself and all the things I do and the hobbies I like. And then next thing you know, on the digital voice recorder, we're starting to get voices that aren't mine. And I think they just want someone that they can feel comfortable with and talk to.
Do you like use any trigger items or anything like that?
I have in the past. I know we did an investigation. It was at an old museum, and it was believed to be that a little boy haunted it. So we've used wood blocks, and I've actually had him knock them over for me while we were sitting there. I would stack them up in a little pyramid, and I'd be like, can you knock these over? And they fell down. And of course, then we're stacking them back up, and we're all jumping on the floor to see if it happens again. My son, when he investigated the same location, he brought little toy dinosaurs. And unfortunately, we didn't have any interaction with them, but we've brought those before. Depending on the investigation, I'll bring various things, you know, if it's something they like. Music is a great trigger object as well. And people don't always realize that, you know, you can play music from the era that you believe the spirit is from, and that brings them out because it's something that they're familiar with.
Uh-huh.
And toys is a good one, of course. I know on one investigation, I didn't bring it with, but the investigator that I was with, he brought cigars with because we were going to a brothel.
Uh-huh.
And it was cigars, playing cards, and cash he brought with.
What's your opinion on the Ouija board?
That has evolved so much, and more so in the last, actually quite drastically in the last couple months. I used to be a no. Just because of the investigators that I worked with were like, you know, every case we've ever done, you know, was Ouija board based. And it all started because someone was dabbling with a Ouija board, and no one ever had any positive stories, but I didn't have an opinion at the time of, you know, either way. But I use pendulum boards, really no difference, except for you're using a pendulum instead of a planchette, and it's round instead of rectangular. And then the more research I've done and the more I think about it, using a Ouija board is no different than an EVP session. You're still talking to an unseen entity. You don't know who you're talking to. And when you're done with an EVP session, you thank them. So, you know, even though I haven't used a Ouija board myself, I personally don't see there's a difference.
I mentioned that because I had mentioned it when I did my documentary. At that time, I was active member in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I remember going to my our priest, and I started talking to him about the documentary about the ghosts and spirits, and thinking I'd get some bad feedback, you know. And he was mm-hmm. actually encouraging. I mean, he was really into it, and said if he had any advice to give me is to be careful, because there's a thin line between a ghost and spirit and a demonic side. Mm-hmm. And to stay away from the Ouija board. I remember that, that was like 30 years ago, you know. Right. And I was just curious, you know, because, you know, the Ouija board was brought up to connect with the dead right after Civil War. You know, there was no closure, you know, to these spirits. Mm-hmm. And especially ones that died on that battlefield that, you know, were just buried in ditches and holes and not a proper burial, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I actually had the board of directors from the Talking Board Historical Society on my show a couple weeks ago. And they opened my eyes to a lot. I mean, it's the one guy, I think he said he owns 1,000 Ouija boards.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the insight that they gave to the history and, you know, the boards. And it just really opened my eyes even more than I was already thinking. And it's very interesting.
Okay, I've seen your bio, you know, you had mentioned magic, you know, M-A-G-I-C-K. What's the difference between that and regular magic?
Well, the K was added, I can't remember exactly when, but it was added because they wanted to create a, and I continue using it even though I've seen it both ways and nobody really, you know, pays too much attention to it, but my OCD and a stickler for details, sometimes I make sure I include it, is because they wanted to differentiate from David Copperfield magic and actual paganism, Wiccan, mm-hmm. and witch type magic.
In your bio also, you had put in there, you're a member of the Witches Paranormal Society?
I actually co-founded that with a friend of mine.
Oh, okay. You co-founded that. Yep. And what's that about?
It's been on hold because I had moved from Vegas back to Florida, but we've actually been in contact with each other the last couple months, talking very often. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to create a paranormal society that not only it's the way we're going to end up doing it is similar to how TAPS certifies their different members that they have across the country, you know, the TAPS family member. We're going to do something similar to that, but we're going to offer classes on how people who practice witchcraft can use that for good to help people with paranormal activity. We're going to train them different, you know, techniques, procedures. There's going to be certifications, and then they can use our name to help them, you know, help clients, kind of give them a little bit more reputability when it comes to, you know, hey, this is my team and we're all witches. Mm-hmm. Even though we don't require that of anyone who takes classes or anything from us. But we just kind of wanted to give classes that put that take, the little switch that shows that magic can be used in the paranormal.
Okay, and I also see that you teach online courses through Truckee Meadows Community College.
Yes, TMCC is just outside of Reno. And they reached out to me last year after my Haunted Southern Nevada book came out to teach a class on the book. So I taught that class. And then this year in September, I'm teaching a 3-hour online class on the ABCs of paranormal, where we're going to go through every letter of the alphabet and all the different terms from the paranormal that's associated with it. And then in October, I'm teaching a class on ghost hunting 101.
How many books do you think you've written?
I have 2 that are out right now and 1 coming out in September. And then I've turned 1 in and I've just signed a contract for 2 more. So 6 total by next spring.
Yeah. Where can people go to, you know, get your books or get into contact with you or?
Yeah. The books are from History Press, which is a branch of Arcadia Publishing. And you can get them from there. You can also get them on Amazon. Or if you go to heatherleephd.com, you can connect with me there or on Facebook at Dr. Heather Lee. Is on there. But yeah, I do have some books on hand that I can autograph and ship out if people want to order them directly from me. I think and the books that I have would be Haunted Southern Nevada Ghost Towns, Ghosts and Legends of the Vegas Valley are the 2 that are already out. September 11th is Haunted Florida Lighthouses is coming out. And then I turned in, that should be out first after the first of the year, is Haunted Florida Ghost Towns. And then the two contracts that I have coming out next year would be Haunted Florida Roadside Attractions and then Ghosts and Legends of Florida Pirates. And those, like I said, will all be available either through History Press. You can go to your local bookstore and request it. They're all under Heather Lee. PhD is the author name that I used.
Okay. And I will put all your links at the bottom of this episode. And I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I had a great time.
Thank you, Dr. Heather Lee, for coming on the show. All of her links will be at the bottom of this episode. I am your host, Al Cooley, Ghost in the Valley Podcast. We'll be right back.